Christchurch Hawthorne, our mission is to renew the city by multiplying Christ-like disciples. Teaching the Bible is a critical way we do that. As you listen to this sermon, we pray that God will use it to equip you to go out and live like Jesus, to live for Jesus, and to bring the renewing love of Jesus to the city where you live.
The Bible reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 26. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, but you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you should live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may love, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
So we're continuing in Deuteronomy, as we have been over some weeks now, this ancient book of the Bible, which perhaps you're inclined to think is a bit distant and dusty, and you might wonder how it connects with our lives today. But the more I've got into it, the more I easily see how it connects with our lives today, and indeed how central it is in God's story. Of course, it was this old guy Moses. You've got your sheets there, and there's another picture of him again this morning. He looks a bit feeble, doesn't he, in that picture? You might wonder whether a guy like that had any passions at all left in him. But he did. He was certainly old. Actually, he was 120 years old. So if he looks a bit feeble, that's understandable. And he was about to die, what's more. So we know that he was feeble, but that also meant that he was more passionate, because he knew it was his last chance to preach to the people of Israel. He'd led them through thick and thin, all sorts of high points and terrible low points, and this was his last chance to tell them anything. And I can easily imagine this old feeble guy, you know, wishing that he had more strength and really getting it out to the people. Look, you lot, listen. You know, and it was a critical point not only for Moses in his life, but for them as the people of Israel, because they were about to enter into the promised land. 40 years ago, they'd had a chance to enter into the promised land, and they mucked it up that time through lack of faith in God and through fear. They said, no, it's too hard. We're not going to go into the promised land. So God sent them off to think about that for a while. In fact, for 40 years, wandering around in the desert. And they came back, same point again, but this time Moses is saying, don't mess it up this time. There's that beautiful land across the Jordan, flowing with milk and honey, he said. It's a wonderful land. God's prepared it for you. God is going to go in front of you. It's going to be okay. Don't mess it up this time. So Moses has been preaching passionately to them. Now, over the last few weeks, we've seen that the big sermon, the big preaching from Moses is in fact chapters 5 to 26. That's one big sermon. We've covered that. We saw in that love the Lord your God with all your... That was all from that section. It was spelling out in detail how the people of Israel should live as they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And lots of instructions not only about the sort of big picture of love God, but details of how they live their lives day by day, even what they would eat, even to some extent what clothes they'd wear, how they conducted themselves in society, justice and mercy, things like that. All of that covered together. And also the ways that they would express their relationship to God through the tabernacle, through the offerings and sacrifices, and also through their festivals. The way they celebrated the life that God had given them, all of that in Deuteronomy 5 through to 26. Then last week in chapters 27 and 28, a bit of a picture of a contrast that Moses gave them, blessing or curse. If you go into the Promised Land and do the stuff that God wants, God's going to bless you. God wants to bless you. But if you go over into the Promised Land and forget about God, then watch out. God won't just sit by passively and do nothing if you're going to forget about God and turn your backs on him. Blessing and curse. Well, we are drawing near to the end of Deuteronomy. Moses hasn't got much breath left in him. And so today in chapters 29 and 30, we find that Moses is calling them to make a conscious decision about it. All this stuff that he's been telling them. Now he's saying, today, choose life. Choose life. It's so much better. Now, if you're following the outline that's in our bulletin here, you might have to write pretty small because I'm going to say a fair bit before we get down to the you have seen bit. I want to say, in one sense, the sermon is very simple. Choose life. That's it. You know. That's the main point. If you can't remember anything else, remember that. Choose life. And I'm really glad that we've got a song after this sermon, which is called Choose Life. Now, Rod, did you write that song? Is that right? Rod wrote it for us. It's great. Choose life. That's simple. How do we apply that idea to our lives today? How do we apply that? There was Moses all those years ago telling the people of Israel, choose life. I put before you death and life. Choose life. How do we apply that? Well, one way to apply it to our lives, it's a little bit complicated, but you've got to imagine a timeline. There's the timeline, and Moses and the people of Israel are way over there. Here's the timeline running along. Here we are today. Right? We can look back and see the history of the people of Israel. Moses talking to the people in Deuteronomy way over there. And Moses told them, choose life. Right? He said this alternative, death and life. Now, what happened after that? They crossed over the Jordan River. And then what? Well, sadly, largely, they did not choose life. The history of the people of Israel is largely the history of people forgetting God. That happened time and time again. And most of the curses that God told Moses about in Deuteronomy chapter 28 actually came true. Because the people messed it up again and again and again. So a lot of that timeline between Moses way over there and us now is the people of Israel getting it wrong. Choosing death. Pretty stupid choice, but that's what they did. So then what? Well, it was pretty clear that that was not how God was saving the world. It was God's intention that the people of Israel would be a shining light that would attract people from all around the world to come and get salvation in God. But it wasn't working, and it didn't work. And Isaiah and some of the other prophets then said, well, God is going to send the Messiah, the Saviour, the one who will be the true Israel, the one who will get it right. And of course, that was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So there's Jesus not so far back along the timeline. Jesus is the one who did perfectly choose life. Not only did he live the perfect life and choose life consistently throughout his life to make up for all of the people who didn't, but Jesus voluntarily took upon himself the death that everyone else had been stupidly choosing. Jesus took upon himself the death. We can say he died for them, he died for us, he died for other people. So that the life that God had originally announced as a choice to the people of Israel through Moses would be available again. Jesus took his death in place of them, in place of us, and offers life to us and to them. So if we think about the timeline, one way we can apply this to ourselves today is to say, okay, the people of Israel did not get it right. Jesus came instead and did get it right. And so we can attach ourselves to Jesus. He is the perfect fulfillment of what Moses was initially announcing when Moses said, choose life. So if we want to get on board with this life, we need to attach ourselves to Jesus. That's a fairly simple, a big picture way of applying this to ourselves. And lots of New Testament writers are urging us and encouraging us in this direction. The Apostle John wrote, 1 John chapter 5, this is the message. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe. John was writing to a bunch of Christians. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So John is painting the picture that by attaching ourselves to Jesus, by believing in Jesus, we have the life that God's been talking about for so long. That's one direct way of applying the choice that Moses gave to the people of Israel, applying that to ourselves today. So choose Jesus, and most of you in this room I know already have chosen Jesus. So be encouraged. By having Jesus, you've got the life. Simple. There's another way of taking what happened back with Moses and talking to the people of Israel, death and life, choose life. There's another way of applying that to our lives today. All of us also face decisions, don't we? There are choices to make day by day. Sometimes we're very conscious of them. Sometimes we're not so conscious of them. Sometimes we decide things without really thinking about them. But sometimes we are conscious of choices that we have to make. I was talking with a couple of you in the last couple of days about times when you're really conscious of a big decision that you have to make. Shall I do this or that? You get out a bit of paper and you draw up pros and cons and which one's better. Try to evaluate and make a big decision about it. Sometimes we just make a decision in a split second. What will I have for breakfast this morning? Or shall I go for a walk or something? We make all sorts of little choices like that. We can still think about this framework that Moses put before the people of Israel back in those days. When you're making the choices in life, Moses says, there's death and there's life. Choose life. So we can say, our lives are a bit like the lives of the people of Israel then and what Moses was talking to them about. I guess the difficulty is that if we think about the choices that we make in life, most of the time they don't seem like a choice between life and death, do they? Most of the time, I mean, what'll I have for breakfast, you know, toast or muesli or something, it doesn't seem like a choice between life and death, and frankly it's not. You know, a lot of the choices we make are equally godly, both ways. We don't need to worry about them. If we can see that they're both godly things, then either way is okay. But it's also true that a number of the things that we choose in life are important, that they are a choice between what's good and what's bad. And in Romans 6, for example, in the New Testament, there's other places in the New Testament as well that do this, but in Romans 6, Paul is saying that we need to think about some of the things that we might do as things that belong to death. So don't do them. And in contrast to that, things that we might do are things that belong to life, life that we have in Jesus. And so it may often be the case that we can evaluate what we're doing with our lives day by day by using that framework. Is it a death type thing or is it a life type thing? And we can evaluate it in terms of how it fits in with Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the one who offers us life. So if we're thinking about something that's, you know, maybe being selfish, that's actually against what God tells us in some way, then it's pretty easy to say that is a death choice. In contrast, something that's serving other people, that's loving God or loving our neighbour as ourselves, making a sacrifice for the sake of someone, choosing not to be lazy but to be considerate, those sorts of things are the life-type choices that God is encouraging us to make. So sometimes, as I say, toast versus muesli, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that every choice is a death-life thing. But there are situations, aren't there? You know, the temptations that you know are wrong. And you're going to give in to them. Well, think of that as a life-death choice. Do you really want to choose the death one? There may be all sorts of things that you face in your lives day by day that you can then think of in those terms, and it may, by God's grace, give you the strength and courage to make the right choice, to resist the temptation, to go down the track of what is good and wholesome and serving others and building others up rather than being selfish or just living for the moment. So that's the simple message. You've got a choice, life or death. Choose life. Choose life by choosing Jesus. Choose life by applying that grid to other decisions that you make. Well, at the risk of taking too much more time and at the risk of making the whole thing more complex, I now want to move down and say that there's a bit more we can learn from Deuteronomy 29 and 30. And if you look in the outline, I've got, you have seen. Because what Moses does in Deuteronomy 29 and 30 is he talks about the past. He talks to the people of Israel about what God has done in the past, well, what they've seen in the past, and he encourages them to look back. Moses is saying, think about what's gone before and let that help you make the choice today. So he's saying, you have seen. Well, you've seen what it was like living in Egypt all those years ago. That's one thing you've seen. You've seen what God has been doing with you and looking after you, bringing you out of Egypt. He also says, you've seen what the other nations around about you have done in rebelling against God, and you've seen how God has rescued you and given you victories over the other nations. So there's a number of things that in this couple of chapters where Moses invites his listeners to look back and to remember the past and to use that as part of their decision making. Well, it's true for us also. It's good for us to remember the past. And there's so many ways in which we can learn from the past as we consider the choices that we have in life. We can learn from the way other people have conducted themselves and made choices, and we can learn from the past of very godly people. Nat at the Oxygen Conference in Sydney was learning from the past of people like John Piper and John Lennox and others, and benefiting from their wisdom and their discipline and their love and their passion for God, looking back and learning in the past. Most of all, of course, we can learn from Jesus. We can look back and see that Jesus is the one who conquered death. We can see that Jesus is the one who lived a perfect life. We can look back and see the cross, the point at which Jesus, in ultimate love, gave his life for us. We can look back to the past. We have seen. The other thing that Moses does is that Moses talks about the future. He says, the Lord your God will, and in fact he has some positives and negatives. He says, the Lord your God is interested in looking after you and being your God in the future. But also he's warning them, beware lest you turn away from the Lord your God, because if you do that, the Lord your God will act in discipline and judgment against you. Then these blessings and curses will come upon, these curses will come upon the people of Israel. So he's telling the people of Israel to have the future in mind as they make their choice. Do they want to enjoy a close relationship with God and be his people? Or do they want to face judgment and discipline from God? Well, it's also the same with us, of course, as we think about the choices that we make in life. Whatever they might be, we can think about the future. Think about what God is doing with the whole universe. Think about God's purposes, which are to gather together for himself a people from every tribe and nation and people and language. That's what God is up to. God desires to draw us into his family and into fellowship with him. And God is thinking about an eternity. So we need to see our present troubles in the perspective of the bigger picture in eternity that God is working on. Some New Testament writers encourage us to see that it's a small thing, in fact, to be suffering now in some way. We don't need to worry about that too much. To suffer now a bit is only a small thing compared to the glory of being with God forever. It doesn't always feel like that, does it? Sometimes our sufferings now seem pretty big. They do seem pretty big. Sometimes things that happen in life feel overwhelming. But God is inviting us to see them in perspective of the future. So just as Moses told the people of Israel, hey, look to the future, make your decisions in the light of that, so we can think about it the same way. And then Moses said, okay, remember the past, have a vision for the future, but now, today, I'm placing a choice before you. Life is made up of today, isn't it? It's always today. Every bit of life is today. We have choices to make today. And that's what Moses is saying. Sure, remember the past, think about the future, but now you've got to make a choice. What are you going to do? And so as we think about our lives today, yes, we also have to make choices and resolve whether we're going to go God's way or not, whether we're going to choose the path of life or of death. Let's remember again, why was Moses preaching to the people of Israel? There he is, that weak guy again getting passionate. Why was he preaching? He was 120 years old. Surely he could have said, okay, God, I'm ready for my retirement package now. I just want to have the last few years in peace. Why did he get up and preach? He was passionate about these people that he'd been leading for so long out of Egypt and all the way around the desert. He cared about them. And he really wanted them to experience the good things of God. And so he was concerned to try with everything, every way he could think of, to speak to them and persuade them. Go God's way. He was also passionate, even more so, I think, about God himself. He had a long relationship with God. He knew God personally. And it's not only for the sake of the people that he was trying to persuade the people to do the right thing. It was also for the sake of the honour of God that Moses was trying to persuade the people to do God's things, to go God's way. Because he actually loved God and wanted God to be honoured in it all. That's actually why I'm preaching too. I'm not as old as Moses. probably, unfortunately, not as passionate as Moses. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I care about you. And I want you to have the courage to make the godly choices in life. And it's not only that I care about you, but I also care about God's honour. It's not only for your sake that I want you to make the godly choices, but it's actually for God's sake. Jesus said that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. So every person in the whole universe, including every one of you here in church today, should be submitting your life to God for his sake. So for God's honour, I want you to be choosing life and not choosing death. But it also lines up 100% with what's best for you as well. It will be best for you if you choose life and don't choose death. And of course, the same is true for me as well. I want me to be making the right choices in life and going God's way. Well, all of these things, choosing life and not death, applies in the big picture with the biggest decision in life, and that is, will I follow Jesus or not? That's the big point, the big thing. Most of you, I understand, have already resolved to go Jesus' way in your life. I don't know if there's anyone who hasn't yet come to that point. If there is anyone who hasn't yet come to the point of resolving to follow Jesus, then today is a very good day for doing that. There's no better day than today to say to God, okay, God, I want to go your way. Okay, God, I accept that you are God. And I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Saviour. So if you haven't ever done that before, today's a great day to do it. But then there's also the question of all of these little, well, relatively little choices that we make after that, isn't there? You know, I wonder what particular decisions Moses was trying to get the people of Israel to make when he said to them, I set before you life and death, choose life. What particular choices do you think Moses was trying to get them to do? I guess if there was one big choice, a bit like us choosing Jesus, I guess it was that he actually did want them to have the courage to cross the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land, because 40 years ago they'd lacked that courage and they had not done it. That was probably the big thing that he wanted them to do, to actually take the step of crossing the river. But it's clear from the whole of Deuteronomy that Moses was also very much concerned with all of the little things, which is why he preached this long sermon from chapter 5 to chapter 26, all about the details of life. And it's clear that he was thinking, when he said choose life, he was thinking about all of those little details. What they ate, what sort of clothes they had, how they looked after their animals, how they had their feasts and their, how they made their sacrifices, how they treated each other with love, with mercy, with justice. So when he brought all that together and he said, I put before you death and life, choose life, he was thinking about all of that stuff. Just like God is wanting us to be thinking about all the details of our lives. I've been thinking more about the Christian life, if I can put it that way. You know, I'm paid to be a church minister here and to stand up in front of you most weeks and preach God's word to you. And I think a lot about our church service. And every Monday morning, the church staff get together and we think about what happened on Sunday. And we think about the three church services, the 9 o'clock one and this 10:30 one and also 6 p.m. And it's very easy for me to fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, basically our church consists of what happens on Sunday. Now, you don't think like that. Well, maybe, I don't know if you do or not, but You know that your lives don't just consist of what happens on church on Sunday, don't you? You know, you're living all the other days of your life. From your perspective, you come along here on Sundays and then you go and get on with the rest of your lives. And all of that stuff makes up your life. And God wants it to be like that. God wants you to be getting on with your lives 24/7, to use that phrase. God is very interested in every part of your life. It's not only when you're in church on Sunday morning that God suddenly becomes interested in you. It's all of the things that you're doing on all the other days that God is very much interested in. So what are we on about here in church? We're on about seeking to encourage, seeking to train and motivate and strengthen you, well, one another, all of us together, to be living for God every day, to be living for God in all of the moments of our lives. Yet it's not that church is not important. Church is important. But church is important in order to be resourcing one another, to be living for God for all of the time. And yet, okay, there's the big choice, choose Jesus. Okay, got that. Now we've got to flesh that out in all of the little things we do, day by day. And at this moment, when I'm about to choose what I'm going to do at lunchtime today, that is a moment. Am I going to choose to do something that is going to love God and love my neighbour? Or am I going to choose to do something that's selfish and death-like? All of those things. Next Sunday is an important... Every Sunday is important. Next Sunday is an important Sunday. I really love to see all of you here, especially next Sunday. We're inviting the parents and the little kids of all of our playgroups, the playgroups that meet over there in the Wood Hall, mainly music on Monday, and the playgroups that meet Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday. There's quite a lot of mums and some dads who come along and bring little kids along. We're inviting them to a special church here next Sunday at 10:30, playgroup church. So it's my prayer that we're going to have a number of parents here who don't normally come to church. And we're following that up with a teddy bear picnic, so you're all welcome to bring your teddy bear. But we really need us, the regulars here, to be welcoming and building relationships with those people who come next Sunday. There's not a whole lot of point if we get a whole lot of them along, and there's very few of us, and we ignore them, they have fun with their teddy bears and then go home again, that really won't achieve anything, will it? But so I earnestly encourage you to choose to do something that is maybe stretching your comfort zone, to be committed to coming along here and to be part of the team of welcoming and building relationships with those people. I think that's a life type of activity. Well, it would be nice, in a sense, to take time to think about some other practical examples of things in your lives that you face. Maybe you're conscious of the particular big things in your life at the moment. Maybe a financial thing, maybe a relationship thing, maybe a matter of self-discipline in some way. Maybe it's a decision that you're making and praying about before God about whether you'll do A or B. Whatever those things are, I do urge you to pray about it and to ask God, God, is there a life-death thing here? Is one of these alternatives, is one of these ways going to honour God? Let's go to this great song that Rod has written for us. A place before you today, death and life. Therefore, choose life. Thank you.
Rod told us about this song a while ago. We've been waiting for Andrew to reach this point. Maybe you stand up and you feel engaged and all of that. So we'll do, might do the first verse twice and then do chorus. Yeah? Okay.
Life is your reward, and life is your